like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board of Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Council?
I'm here.
Naomi?
Here.
Donald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
Hagan?
Here.
Boyd?
Here.
Okay, first up we have our minutes of the meeting of May 4th. Take a motion to approve the minutes of May 4th. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, is there any discussion on the minutes?
Yes. Page 5. Under old business?
Yes.
It was Councilman Cioni that made the recommendation, not I.
Yeah, I'd like to add, Mayor, if I could, this killed off on the second sentence. Same section, the 2010 budget. Boyle said he's going to give up his salary for his whole term. Which is only one.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
We have some correspondence from the library board, from the school, and from the tax assessor.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second.
Okay. All right, do we have any discussion on the resolutions?
Mayor, just out of curiosity, were you a part of this discussion with the library board also?
No, unfortunately, okay. I did not make that meeting.
Okay.
How is the, when the library board was in front of us, they were talking about establishing a formal group, Friends of the Washington Public Library?
Correct.
What is the progress on that?
There are two women who were previously in a group called Friends of the Library. They so far are the only ones who have joined any kind of Friends of the Library group.
And the purpose they stated that night was to actually help raise funds to offset some of the costs of the library, correct?
That was one of the objectives of the organization. Also, I think they wanted to make more people aware of it, of the services that are provided by the library, and just the general overall public relations type of thing.
So the library is asking us not to support Assembly Bill 2555?
Correct.
Are they asking for like a resolution from this council? Or a letter to Senator or Assemblyman DeMille?
No, I don't think they're asking for that from us. They have their resolution
okay. That
they did. It's certainly within our prerogative to do so if we wish to. And I think this is more informational than anything else.
All right, thank you.
I think in the resolution it asks for, this recommends and urges the elected and appointed officials of the borough of Washington take every possible step to persuade the legislature not to pass the
bill. You are correct. My apologies.
I'll make that motion.
Well, how about if we get rid of the correspondence first, then we'll take any resolutions like that. Any other discussion on the correspondence? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Mr. Higgins, you wish to make a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion in support of Resolution 1, 2010, from the Library Board of the Borough of Washington.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that?
Now, what this bill is stating is that they won't be responsible, the municipalities, to provide aid?
Minimum
aid? Just the minimum.
So
that's the one-third mill.
The one-third mill.
Right, yeah, and this would eliminate that.
This would eliminate that. So then it'd be up to municipalities to decide on their own what they would like to support the libraries with.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other discussion on that? All in favor of that resolution?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Any abstentions? what?
Mirror copies, Mr. Higgins. Essentially, the same resolution, just our next. Also, we have a...
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
Was that a resolution to support this, and did that pass? I wasn't sure with the voting.
Yes, support resolution.
4-2.
It was in support of the resolution.
In support of the library.
So we need a motion to have the manager draw up a resolution in support of this?
This is a resolution.
That's from the library.
This is from the library.
The library's resolution.
I thought that's what the motion
we
said.
We are going to draft a resolution.
Right.
Their resolution.
Right. Just wanted to make sure that was clear in the minutes. Right.
Okay. Dave and...
No, I mean, sorry. I did.
And me.
Okay. We also have a request, one of those correspondence from Ms. Shanti Kugli, requesting a change of date for her block party. I would accept a motion to change that date.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Mr. Phelan, you wanted to speak a little bit about the third piece of correspondence?
Yes, if I could. Earlier this year, if you remember, the borough was approached by a resident on West Washington who was interested in purchasing an undeveloped road that the borough owns. This is the property that goes between his house. In essence, it goes right from right from 57. It's an undeveloped road. The question at the time was, what is it worth? The assessor has provided documentation on the approximate assessment of it. The question now becomes, does council want to go by this number for purposes of the sale, or are they going to request that the potential buyer do a full-blown appraisal of the property?
Which property?
It's a, if you're on 57, just before Grand.
Mm-hmm.
It's an undeveloped road. In fact, there's like a white picket fence there.
Mm-hmm.
Parallel to 57. If that fence was gone, that's actually a borough-owned, undeveloped, non-conforming road. He's interested in purchasing that.
Mm-hmm.
And making it part of his existing block and lot.
So the assessed value is $1,100.
Correct.
So if we were to make him get a full-blown assessment, it would probably cost almost as much as the property.
That's correct.
Which would mean
that's
probably correct. Not.
And we can only sell it for far minimum of what fair market value is.
Right.
Right now, there is really no fair market value on undeveloped non-conforming road.
Right.
That's why the assessor went out and gave his opinion on it.
This is going to be one block and lot?
Yes.
And whoever buys it, then that's their block and lot, or?
What it does is a lot line adjustment. They will pay for it and have the tax maps adjusted to account for that extra piece of property.
Okay. This person's taxes will be assessed based on the new lot size.
Correct.
So that person will actually
right.
be paying more in
yeah.
property tax.
That's correct.
And since there are, it's being shared at the moment, that situation is not a problematic issue for the borough, correct?
No, that's correct. Right now, it's in essence, they have been using the property for many years now without objection from the borough. Now he says he wants to own it and make it part of his so he can do what he chooses to the property.
Okay.
And the way I understand the law, a congruent property owner can purchase from the borough without advertisement or anything.
That's correct. Only for the non-conforming lot, which this one is. Now, I can't just say this property owner wants to buy this property, let's sell it to him. To my understanding, we have to approach both contiguous property owners.
This is a non-conforming lot.
That's correct. Correct.
Okay. Yeah, you can, a non-conforming lot, there's an exception to the bidding laws, which allows the municipality to offer it to the adjoining property owners, and they can either bid on it or take it or whatever they want to do.
Theoretically, they could split it down the middle if they both choose to.
Now, Rich, that property also has, like on the sidewalk, like an easeway, I guess because it was a road, so like the curb goes down like this. Now, would that have to be changed since it's no longer a road?
Well, his intention was to leave it exactly as it is.
But would that have to conform to our sidewalks then because that's no longer a road? It may sound kind of like, you know, nitpicking.
I would actually say yes. I would tend to say yes because if you're making the turn off of 57 to a dead road, if you will, and that's no, by selling this property, it no longer could ever be a road, we would have to have him repair the sidewalks,
okay.
curbs, and I guess the question is, is council okay with the assessed value as the starting, or would they request a full-blown appraisal?
But it's not, well, you had just said it's not going to gain anything for just to be spending money for somebody, right?
Yeah.
So the tax assessor deemed that $1,100.
Yes.
I mean, I'd make that motion to go with the tax assessor's appraisal on that piece of property.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, testimony, or petitions from guests that is not on the agenda.
Rudy Bichero, 191 Broad Street. Will the demise of the court here in the borough be discussed tonight?
That's not on the agenda.
Nothing's on the agenda for that.
No? Nope. Okay, then. I'm talking about it. My question is, why are we eliminating our court?
There are upgrades that would need to be done to the courtroom, which would be very expensive for the borough. Mansfield Township already has those upgrades in place. That's one of the major reasons as to why we would be looking to do so.
And who's going to pay for those upgrades and the startup costs for a combination of the borough joining Mansfield Township? And
Mansfield Township already has those upgrades in place.
So there's no startup cost to the borough?
Not for any upgrades to their facilities, no.
What about the startup costs?
Such as?
New ticket books, additional people.
If I may, if this goes forward, the court is being relocated to Mansfield Township. We're still going to be a separate municipal court entity.
Not going to be the borough here, and it will not have the two borough employees here.
The court would go to Mansfield.
Right.
The tickets would still be issued by the borough of Washington.
Right. The employees that are currently here will not be here. They will not be in Mansfield.
That is my understanding, yes.
So we're going to put two more people off the payroll.
Yes.
And what are we saving?
$120,000 a year.
We're saving $120,000 a year. I find that hard to believe we're going to have that much money in savings. I challenge it. And if this goes through, I will be back in 6 months or more or less to challenge those numbers, because we have gotten rid of our police department, which was a bad mistake. Poor decision on the borough's part, okay? We have less police presence. We have less tickets being issued. And in the last 5 years, there's been a decrease in the number of tickets issued year by year, which may be the demise, may be a reason for it. But we're still paying for the prosecutor, because in January, he was awarded a contract, correct?
Yes, he was awarded a contract.
And we got to pay him from August to December, correct?
Is that correct?
Correct. He's still a professional service appointee.
Right, but he's not going to be doing anything.
That's not true. He's still going to be the municipal prosecutor. What you need to understand is we're not getting rid of our court. We're relocating the venue.
So we're going to...
We still, by law, need to appoint a prosecutor, a public defender, and a judge each year. The venue from which the municipal court would be proceeding, if the agreement moves forward, will be in a different town. Revenues are still ours. Tickets
are
still ours.
So he's going to be the prosecutor for the end of the year, and our judge will still be Judge Palmer for the next 2.5 years.
He's on, I believe it's year 2 of a 3-year appointment.
He's in year 1 of a 3-year appointment.
I thought he was appointed in March of 2009. Is that correct?
I thought he was given a contract in 2009
was year 1 of his 2-year appointment, of his 3-year appointment. At the end of this year, it'll be the completion of year 2.
I think it's another, again, a bad decision if it is made. I don't see and understand how we're going to save $120,000. I will hold you folks accountable for that savings, because I don't think we're going to have it. And I'm highly upset that we're going to let two employees go. We're going to be down. We have what? 15 full-time employees now. We're going to have 12, 13 full-time employees. My next question is, why do we need a manager for 13 employees?
I believe a manager is mandated under our form of government. Is it not, Mr. Cushing?
It may be mandated, but we can get around it. We don't have to have a full-time manager.
Well, we do, and we're going to continue to have one, sir. And we're going to move our court, and we're going to do everything we can to lower taxes for the citizens of Washington Borough.
Well, how are you lowering the taxes when you hired the most expensive most expensive borough attorney we could have? In January, he was the most expensive.
No, he was.
That's not lowering taxes.
No, he was not the most expensive.
Of the three bids that were received,
he was number two.
No, he was number three because he was $50,000. The next lower was $36,000, and the last one was no retainer.
No, the other one was $52,000, I believe.
No,
I don't remember. I think he's correct on his numbers. I'm not sure if you can compare that way, Rudy, in the sense that somebody who bills on an hourly basis, their retainer, or their billing is in the 70, 80, who knows what it is. And the other thing I'd point out to you, just since you raised it, the scope of services for the other attorneys was not as broad as the scope of services that we provide, okay? We've done almost all legal services for the borough for years, very little litigation, trying to avoid litigation.
And that's correct.
I believe that over the long run, the borough would actually end up saving money as a result of that decision. But then again, of course, I'm a little biased in that regard, so I will acknowledge that.
So I don't accept that because, again, your retainer, your hourly was higher than the low bidder.
That's right.
Okay. So you went with the high bidder. That was lowering taxes, controlling taxes. I find it hard to believe that we're going this route. I think it's a shame, and you might as well just turn the keys over to the township because there would be nothing left of the borough. Chances are, if you get rid of the courts, you're going to be getting rid of the DPW. Make you a bet on that. Just voice my opinion, and I will challenge every time when the numbers come out because I don't think we're getting a fair shake. Because we didn't get a fair share with the bailiffs when the police were transferred. We had to hire the bailiffs for that outside. They weren't included. Now, I'm here to store words about the crossing guards that we have to pay that were not in it in the contract when we transferred the police. Again, we're not reviewing our contracts. You're not doing your job. You're not trying to save the borough any money, and you're not trying to save anybody's job. We're getting two more people off the payroll. For $120,000, I don't understand that.
And I don't believe it.
Anyone else?
Yep.
Sir.
Yeah, Joseph DePalma, State Street. I was waiting for a
We're still trying to see what we can do for you. We've taken a look. We've reached out to the county, and hopefully by next meeting we'll have a definitive answer for you. And I apologize for not letting you know in advance.
Yeah, I thought Richard was going to shoot me something.
We didn't get back,
and I should have alerted Rich that we hadn't had it ready for you.
All right, so 2 weeks from now.
We'll have it in 2 weeks.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. DeLelva.
Thank you, Bob DeLelva, 86 West Stewart Street. I know this question's come up a couple of times, so we're trying to get an answer on actually positions. Basically, what I'm questioning is, what is the opinion of each council member in terms of combination or non-combination of merging of services? And which ones would you be in favor or not in favor of?
With the township or just anybody?
Anybody. because it came up with Oxford on the garbage proposals, come up with the township. So just curious as in terms of the opinion of the individual council members, what position you stay.
If I could go first, Mr. DeLalba. On the shared services with the other municipalities, I had spoken to the borough of Hampton and the town of Belvedere, excuse me. Borough of Hampton, as far as a shared service with that true definition, we have something you may need to use. We could offer it for you, vice versa. The punch list that the borough of Hampton and I talked about, they've already had being done, like street sweeping. You know, of course, I couldn't offer anything on the garbage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Road paving, because they're all county roads in their municipality. Okay. Now, the town of Belvedere, again, is pretty similar to the borough of Hampton. They're using their shared services with White Township. So it almost seems as though that we're a little bit behind on offering our goods because other towns have already done that a couple years ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just sticking to what I know about with the garbage and, you know, with the streets. As far as the other items like that, I have not been able to discuss that because that wasn't on other towns' agendas. Now, we had a shared service meeting the 22nd of May at Washington Township, which was a countywide meeting there. And discussions are, you know, is maybe is what Mr. Brashear is talking about, is the shared services of municipal courts. More and more municipalities are going that direction because that seems to be like nobody else has done that yet. Hasn't been covered. So as far as going forward with other services, again, we have, the ears are open if there's some things that we may not be thinking about to bring to the table of other towns. Other towns aren't calling us or, you know, reaching out to me and say, hey, do you have, you know, that we could use? Because everything that they are using from another town, Hampton and Glen Gardner are working together, mm-hmm. Belvedere and White, you know, Belvedere and Oxford. So those items like that have been reached out at, but hasn't come to fruition yet.
So in terms of shared services, you've been exploring each one individually and with the towns as we go.
Yes, sir.
Would be a savings or not?
Yes, sir. I mean, especially like with the garbage, you know, I was going to bring it in council remarks, but, you know, Belvedere has a bigger picture than what, you know, I was prepared for. They're looking to have four municipalities involved with the garbage, Hampton, Oxford, the borough, Glen Gardner. And, you know, what we need to get on board with is we need to recycle more than just throw away, because these other towns are making money on the recyclables. Mm. And the idea with Belvedere is if we had more towns together, you know, spot load a recyclable trailer to take it down to Colgate, you have more recyclable items going down there. Obviously, you're going to get paid more and divvy it up, you know, evenly, what have you. It's just all been talking. And cut down the garbage, which is tonnage. You pay on that. Mm-hmm. And these other towns with their recycling coordinator, they actually look through the garbage. Mm-hmm. And if you know, you're not recycling, you don't get picked up. So the towns people bought into that too, that they are recycling more. That's one area that I wasn't, you know, even thinking about getting four municipalities and having two of them do actually pick up the recycles, and we share in the revenue of that, which I don't even know if the borough is getting a lot of revenue on our recyclables or not. Mm-hmm. That's one area that we've been looking at, which I had a meeting with Belvedere May 25. So that was one part of my council remarks I was going to bring up. I have not heard back from Hampton, and I reached out to them. The person charged with recycling and the garbage there hasn't returned my call or email. Okay, it's government work, right? Mm-hmm. Belvedere is very interested. You know, I would hope by next week, Councilman Thompson, who's part of that, would come together with us in Oxford to sit down with Oxford and Hampton and Glen Gardner.
Part of the talk, see them will give us some specific numbers at the savings and projections and all that.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the first conversation, you know. Councilman Shoney did a fantastic job on that presentation. That's a presentation I used with the other municipalities. We got nothing to hide. This is our cost. Mm-hmm. You got to beat that substantially.
Was it trademark? Did you borrow it?
You know, I forgot to ask him. But yes, sir. You know, that's the starting point. If they can't do it for us for substantially less than that, whatever we agree with would be less than, there's no sense going forward. Let's look at something else. We have a good relationship with the other towns. There has been no conversation at all with the Township of Washington because they do things differently as far as the garbage. They're privatized. So, mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at on that.
Okay, and exploring the cost savings. Okay,
yes, sir.
Anyway.
There's a difference between shared service and contracted services.
Mm-hmm.
Shared services are a great idea, even down to pens and paper, you know, pens and the paper that we buy. It's a great idea. I think what we have to watch is contracted services, because at the end of that contract, we have to watch that we're not being held accountable.
Mm.
But as far as shared services, I don't think anybody sitting here is against shared services.
I think Mr. Higgins is right there. I think we're all willing to look at whatever shared service with whatever community,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we can go forward with. And it's, you know, we're willing to talk and open the conversation as far as that goes, but it will come down to a dollars and cents decision. Is it worthwhile in order to do something?
You know, you always have to look at not just the money thing. It can't always be a dollar for dollar. You have to think about what kind of level of service are you going to get, because anytime you enter in an agreement with another municipality on anything, the service should be at least as good, if not better, than what you're getting now, and at a less cost, obviously, that makes sense. You know, to Patrick's point, you know, if he's in conversations with Belvedere, and they say, well, we can give you exactly what you get today, but you're only going to save, you know, $10,000 or something like that, then you have to weigh out, is the cost of change worth it? You know, because you're going... If you only look at the dollars and cents, there's going to be a lot of times you're going to lose that. You're going to lose that bet. When you're building a house or something, you go with the lowest. We've seen it in this town.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest bidder historically has given us so many problems that wound up costing us more money than somebody we would have probably went with anyway. But we were obligated to go with the lowest bidder.
So as the library did when they did a presentation, they showed you not only is there a savings, but that we would lose services. Similar.
Right. I mean, and that's another thing you always have to weigh out. You know, how much, look, in order to save taxpayer money, you have to weigh out how much pain are you willing to tolerate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many services are you willing to do without that maybe you could supplement, go somewhere else, like with the library, for example. Maybe we go to Franklin. Maybe if we could join the county system, we have to go all the way to Belvedere. Those are the things that have to enter into the equation, or else it's if you don't do the research up front and that everybody has all that research to weigh through, then everybody's irresponsible,
mm-hmm.
you know, and whoever makes that decision without perfect, as close to perfect information and isn't demanding that information, you know, shouldn't be up here.
So basically you're saying, obviously, like you were doing the study, you're going to actually explore anything that may involve either shared services or combining of contractual agreements with DPW, fire department, park, whatever services we still have.
Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on the willingness of both parties. You know, there has to be a willingness, at least in principle, on both party side to at least engage in the initial conversation.
Right, but before you move forward, obviously, willingness and facts to back it up to make this a...
Absolutely. I
mean, a justifiable change.
Again, it has to weigh in. Like, let's say we're going to go out and Department X.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another municipality had a similar Department X. Theirs was bigger. Theirs had newer equipment. Theirs was better run. Who knows? You know,
mm-hmm.
those are things, everything from the skill sets from the employees that are on Department X all the way down to the equipment that they use, all of that has to factor in. It's no different than a company business.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a department that's underperforming, you have a department that's overperforming. It's all about the managers and the people who are doing the day-to-day work. If they're no good, I don't care how much money you throw at it, it's not going to make it work. So all of those things have to factor in.
Okay.
May I?
Yeah, sure.
We've been talking, we've been doing some shared services, shared work before shared services was actually a buzzword. A number of years ago, Washington Borough, Franklin Township, and Washington Township went in together, and Dave, you'll remember this, bought a paver, a roller, and a trailer to put all those on.
I remember that also.
And the guys from our road department in Washington Township would go to Franklin Township, help them pave a road, and vice versa. Whatever township was doing something, it worked out well for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Township eventually backed out of it. I believe that they had all their roads paved. So I don't know exactly what the reasons were. We still have the paver and we still have the roller. And we use the paver. We have guys on our road department who are very knowledgeable on how to run that.
Mm.
That was an early example of thinking outside the box. We have Mr. Boyle that sits on the Morris Warren Shared Services Committee,
mm-hmm.
and they have meetings on a regular basis. We've been looking into shared services for quite a while, and sharing services, as Mr. Cioni said, and contracts, you know, we're looking at cutting costs.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately right now, if we look at the overall view of where the borough is, we have a budget problem, and mm-hmm. we haven't cut that much out of the budget, and mm-hmm. we need to explore every possible thing we can.
Mm-hmm.
As Mr. Bashir said tonight, it's not a popular decision to move the court and to lose two employees. It mm-hmm. never is. Mm-hmm. But it's a cost-saving measure, and we have to do something in order to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the library, which is the simplest example and the most recent one, I'm using that again because it's easy to understand. You explore the options, you had the presentations, you gathered the facts specifically so we had specific numbers to make an intelligent decision, so there was full accountability for making that decision. That's the way you want to proceed.
Right, and that's what we're doing. You know, we've explored the idea of sharing the courts, mm-hmm. and, you know, we do our due diligence mm-hmm. to try to, you know, as many cost-cutting measures as possible.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the other thing is I think shared services are really important. I think that's the way things are going to go for municipalities in the future, and we have to get used to it. But we also have to proceed with caution and be very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we really have to look at everything to make sure that there really is a cost saving and that the services that are supplied actually maintain the level of satisfaction that we require.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you have an opinion? I know you're the manager.
I think it's incumbent on any manager or administrator to explore every possible option, good, bad, or ugly. Long gone are the times where municipalities in the state can provide a full range of services in a cost-effective manner on their own.
Mm-hmm.
The way the financial world is now, you just can't do it. I don't know offhand of any municipality that doesn't contract out a service or enter into a shared service agreement of some sort.
So your focus primarily is shared services?
Well, I wouldn't say primary. It's an option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every option needs to be explored.
Okay.
The biggest misconception with shared services is that all municipalities reap benefits from it. That's not true. That's a huge misconception. If I have a service that I can provide out and bill to another town to bring in some revenue, that's fantastic. But while employees are providing that service, work on our end isn't getting done, so it's a trade-off. And that's just one example. I mean, the bottom line is, if there's an option out there, it should be explored. Worst case, you waste your time and find out it doesn't reap any savings or we're not interested.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. So in terms of accountability, exploring the options, basically you're saying to see if it will be a savings, to see if it will be a benefit to the borough before you move forward on any of the shared services.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime there's the concept of a shared service, either the shared services committee, a subcommittee of the borough council, myself, or a combination thereof, will meet with the respective community. Hey, let's talk about this, A, B, and C. We then report back. Do we want to proceed, yes or no? If we want to proceed, you do a little more digging. You start digging numbers. You don't want to spend, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks to do something if no one wants to do it on the concept alone.
Mm-hmm. What is nobody to do it with?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like any investment in a business, you know, you do what's most beneficial to your customers. Mm-hmm. In this case, the customers are the residents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, I'd accept the motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we have Ordinance 8-2010.
I move Ordinance 8-2010 on first reading.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion?
Mayor, if you don't mind. Richard, I'd like to ask a question that, you know, I want to be clear. On-street parking for handicap, absolutely, whatever needs to take. Question I have is, if that residence is sold and there's a blue curbing in front of their house and they don't need it, and they want that removed. Do we go through the process again to get rid of that, and we incur the costs on that also?
That's correct. Every time you introduce an ordinance, there's a cost. Every time you amend it, and every time you adopt it, there's a cost. So, yes.
For handicap parking, the only entity that can refuse that is us. I mean, can the doctor, well, obviously a doctor can say you don't need it, but I doubt that. But what I'm saying is anybody can request handicap parking nearest their home or in front of their home?
Anyone can request it. It has to be reviewed and approved by the borough engineer to make sure that it's compliance with our ordinances, of course. But theoretically, anybody can request it.
Now, if it's going to be removed, does a borough engineer have to research it and study it to see to get the blue paint removed and the sign down?
No. It would just be a request. You know, once it's discovered that the property owner is
moved,
we can just amend the ordinance and remove that streak
and
from
that,
the ordinance.
That would have to come from a resident on that street to get it out of there.
What we tend to do when this happens, we note in the tax record.
Okay.
The date of the request.
Okay.
So then, if the property changes hands, when we go to update the records, we can see that.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Boyle, an important fact to remember, though, is just because there's a handicapped spot in front of that house does not mean any other handicapped person cannot park there.
I understand that. But it does take the parking space away from
the public,
anybody.
The general public, correct.
Isn't there already a handicapped parking space there? In that general vicinity?
There's another one, not on that street.
On Jackson Avenue?
No, well, not relating to this request. There's maybe a dozen, if you will, give or take, in the town that have been approved via ordinance over the years.
I understand that, but there is one on Jackson Avenue.
That I can't say without looking at the handicap map. The parking space.
You could have as many as...
I mean, theoretically, I mean, there's nothing preventing you from having one in front of every house. That's your decision.
And it also doesn't mean that if I have a handicap spot that I applied for, so to speak, outside of my house, doesn't mean that if you're handicapped, you can't park there either.
Right.
Yeah, I think the intent of these requests for council's review and consideration is, all right, do we want to unofficially allocate a spot to this property owner? Now, again, it's not their spot. Anyone with a valid sticker, a handicap sticker, can use it. It's a courtesy request.
Well, the engineer did the work already, correct, on this one?
That's correct.
I mean...
When they come in, I mean, that's all part of his general engineering contract, but, you know, when the requests come in, you know...
Now, with the ADA regulations, what would happen if council would turn down a request?
I was just about to bring that up.
Would not be good.
When there is a request for a handicap spot from a disabled person standpoint, you are turning that down if... It works both from an engineering standpoint and the handicapped person has submitted proper documentation. You might have a little exposure there. That's a protected area.
For the express times, I wasn't suggesting that.
Yeah, you were just looking.
I just want to make sure that the blue paint went away, you know.
No, I mean, we painted it in half.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? We have a roll call, please.
Howell?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes. Got it introduced. Now we need a motion to approve.
Okay. Motion to have the public hearing.
No motion to earth. No. We need publication date. When the public hearing?
Can
you
do the publication date?
Public hearing on ordinance will be July 6th. Advertising of the public hearing is targeted on June 10th.
So move.
Okay. Okay, any discussion on that? And a roll call on that one, please.
Howell?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
That takes us to reports.
Move we accept and file the reports?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
I do, Mayor, real quick. Rich, on issue number 250, please. I called the resident about their concern, and at that time of the phone call, the engineer had not been out there yet. Now, I see that he went in there. Did we contact the resident about his findings?
Yes, I actually spoke with her directly.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I spoke with her directly. I filled her in on his findings.
It's right there.
Yeah, so she is aware, and she's right. Pleased.
All right, great. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the reports?
All in favor of filing?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any committee reports this evening?
DPW garage, the manager met with the contractors last week. The project is on target for completion end of August, beginning of September. The electrical inspection passed. They're doing a marvelous job. They're doing great work. The trusses for the salt shed have been ordered. There are garage doors up there, and things are looking great.
Wonderful. Any other?
Yeah, I'll just add some more to the shared services thing. With my meeting with Belvedere, a couple of bullet points that, you know, if anything goes forward with any town, most towns do not offer vegetation pickup. They actually allow the residents to throw them into normal garbage. One thing I neglected to say is that it could be shared services. If there was a call out, say, in Hampton, they would like to reach out to the manager, and could we borrow a DPW guy from the borough to pick up that slack for garbage collection? So I thought that was pretty cool. Apartment complexes wouldn't be a part of a shared service agreement. There's a lot of issues with that, again, with recycling. They find one soda can in a five-yard dumpster, they're not picking it up. So they like to stay away from apartment complexes. Both of these towns only allow one 32-gallon refuse container. The emphasis is recycling. You know, if you tonnage is 1 million pounds for tonnage, which is garbage, you should be around 800,000 or at least half of that recyclables. So they emphasize recycling because that's revenue coming into a town. Their community bought into it. They really said it's a great success story. Like that. Those are just some of the things I didn't talk to when I spoke about this earlier. As far as the streets, I want to get the streets going.
Mr. Boyle, can I interrupt you for just
absolutely
a moment? Something about you said about the garbage collection there for the attorney. You probably know right where I'm going
with
the apartment complex.
Correct. Back many years ago, there was a lawsuit by, this is probably right when I first started, which was a long time ago, but what the claim was by the, actually it was the business owners, and I think it was the apartment complexes, had challenged the fact that at that time the borough had decided not to pick up commercial or I think it was the apartment complexes. And there's been quite a bit of litigation by apartment complex owners against municipalities that, as they claim it, discriminate against apartment complexes. So what the way municipalities normally get around that is they have to apply the same standards with respect to cans, et cetera, from the apartment complexes or commercial users as are applied to residential, so there isn't discrimination. So in other words, if you require a homeowner to put garbage cans out on the street, then you've got to require that same thing of apartment owners, and a lot of times the apartment complexes don't like to do that because of logistical problems.
Right. But is this a topic that was brought up that there's been issues?
Cause I just wanted to make sure you were aware
right
of that.
Yeah. I was going to bring the same thing up.
Yeah. I was aware of it, but that's why we talk.
To factor that into the equation as you move along.
I didn't sign anything.
No, I understand. I understand.
I just wanted to make you aware that was going on for your next conversation. I'm sorry.
So, Councilman, can I ask a question? Was that kind of, as far as Hampton and Belvedere are concerned, was that kind of a deal breaker if we said that it has to include?
No, actually, Councilman, that was the conversation that if their employees look in the cans or the bags before they pick up, that's right, their procedures. And they said if it's a recyclable item in that container, they will not pick it up.
But that's for their municipality.
Correct. And here's the quagmire is their employees are so versed and trained on that, I mean, the learning curve would be very difficult. Now, getting back to the attorney, sure. I mean, they're going to have to do more recycling like anybody else, absolutely. So they're going to need a whole bunch of cans. But this is just one of the things that these municipalities brought up. I don't know if there's apartments in Hampton or Belvedere at all. I have no idea. Okay, so somebody said, yeah, there is. That was just, wasn't a deal breaker. You know, we haven't gotten that far. I mean, they're extremely interested in working with us.
But they would pick up, they wouldn't require their apartment complexes to buy individual garbage cans.
No. No, they would be a big...
That's something we could do to circumvent the litigation that's happened in the past.
Well, let's put it this way, to treat everybody equally.
Equally.
Yeah. See, these are the exact things that somebody brought up, like with the crossing guards. You know, something might get overlooked today, and then you have a problem, you know, 6 weeks from now, that you got to bring them on the table before anything happens. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
The company we have right now does that. If you have recyclables in the can, they won't take it. They won't take them.
Anything else, Mr. Boyle?
Well, I was just, because it's so cold, I remind me about streets and snow removal, that I want to get, you know, that committee active, because we have some significant decisions to make for the winter of 10 and 11 about some of these streets that we discussed last winter. So I would, you know, we'll publicize it on the website, pick a date, and, you know, hopefully I get a lot of good people to come out. You're all good.
Thank you, sir. Any other committee reports? Hearing none, we will move on to old business.
Oh, Senior Citizens Sorry. Committee, June 23rd at 6:30 p.m.
Okay. We have a forensic audit discussion first up on our list. Mr. Farrell, do you have anything you'd like to start us off with? Okay.
I asked to have this put on the agenda for the last meeting, from the last meeting. I had an opportunity to go over the CD. I wasn't going to print it all out. I don't have enough ink.
Okay.
For all the proposals, but I would like to see, based on the information that was the upfront information, the bids, I would like to set a date to invite the three companies in for interviews, preferably at our next meeting. The three companies being Snyder & Company, Chin Consulting Associates, and Sobel & Company. The ranges range from 47, 5, 6.
Say that louder and slower for somebody.
Three companies.
Snyder & Company, mm-hmm. Their range is 47.5 to 62.5 for 5 years. Chin Consulting Associates, 62,750 to 98,750. And Sobel and Company, they're from 70,000 to 95,000.
Okay, is that a motion, sir?
Yes, it is.
Is there a second?
Oops.
All right.
I'd like to second that, please.
Okay, is there any other discussion on this? And you're making the motion for them to be available for our next meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Would that be public hearing? No?
That would be interviews.
That would be
council choose, that would be interviews in executive session, the same way any other professional would be done.
Perhaps it would be better to do a special meeting for that? What do you think?
Either way, it would be an executive session.
Dick, we can't, I mean, I'm not arguing with, go ahead. I'm not arguing with the manager, but we couldn't have the three companies here just talk about what their company does in public?
No, that
then the discussion in executive.
Right?
That
you like a big presentation?
Yeah, is that fine with council? I mean, okay.
I thought you wanted the interviews.
Well, listen, their presentation and then, of course, we're going to discuss it in the executive session, correct?
Right. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Three opposed?
Three.
Right.
What was that?
Three opposed?
Yes.
Okay, motion is defeated then.
Excuse me, Mr. O'Donnell, there were three oppositions to presentations for the forensic audit?
Yes.
And which three were they?
Mr. Valentine, Mr. Cioni, and Mr. Hauser. Okay, budget discussion is needed. Recreation budget. I guess that was Mrs. Gleba who brought that up, who's not here. So can we carry that to the next meeting?
Well, didn't she send an email, Rich, saying that we could at least discuss it because Gary was here?
Gary is here.
Oh, okay.
That's just for me, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I understand there is a motion on the floor to decrease the recreation budget by $25,491. the proposed budget, the $25,491. I just want to naturally request that you rescind that motion.
I'm sorry, Gary, what was the amount?
The request is to reduce the Recreation Department budget by $25,491, the current budget.
Wasn't that, $15,000 of that from Beth's running the numbers on reducing the hours?
Can I?
Okay.
You will let me explain? Yeah. Okay, that's the total amount that Mrs. Gleba has recommended be reduced. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think that was what was said in the email.
Okay, all right.
It was $17,000 on the operations side, and I believe it was $8,000. It was a total of $24,000.
It's $17,424 in salary and wages, and $8,067.97 in operating expenses. Okay, this is her proposal. I just want to give you a little information before you vote on this. And if you remember back when I came in and I gave you the presentation, okay, I gave you the salary expenses for the swim program salaries as $47,617. If you look at the current proposed budget, we're proposing for recreation swimming program salary and wages $30,197. We've already reduced last year's figures by over $17,000. And Mrs. Gleba is now proposing that we reduce that by an additional $15,500.
Is there justification she provided for that? Is just bottom line stuff?
Says last council meeting, council approved reduction in pool hours. See pool advisory committee proposal action plan, savings $15,500. Again, I'll repeat. I told you it was $47,000, $47,600 was last year's salary and wages. In our proposal this year, we're requesting $30,000. So we've already reduced it by $17,000.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So Beth's write-up was based on last year's numbers, salary and wages.
Mm-hmm.
Your proposed budget is already cutting the $17,000.
$17,000 more than the $15,500.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Okay.
Are you saying that Mrs. Gleba's proposal double cuts?
That's correct.
You cut it once, and she's cutting it a second time.
That's
correct. She's basing it off of last year's salary and wages.
And Mary had already taken that into account.
Right.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay. In addition to that, she was requesting that $1,924 be removed from the adult basketball program salary and wages. Since that is a self-supporting program, I have no problem if that's removed. Okay. The other proposals for removing money from the operating expenses, there was $2,400 from street hockey, $700 from karate, $1,700 from basketball, $1,200 from girls softball, and $192 from soccer for $6,291. These are also self-funding, and they have been paying for themselves, so I have no problem with that money being removed. And she also proposed $1,000 being removed from the general fund for grand illuminations, $275 for the 4th of July, and $500 for the egg hunt for $1,775. I have no problem with that's removed, providing we can get the new advisory committee to raise the funds to support it. Okay. Now, to further support my request not to reduce these funds this year, I'm going to give you some figures of what's happening so far this year. In 2009, our memberships for the pool raised $23,560. As of last Friday, we have raised $4,115. We're short $19,445. Okay? Last year, swim lessons generated $13,095. This year, we have generated $7,360, and sign-ups are complete for a shortfall of $5,735. Last year, the swim team generated $9,520, and so far this year we have $7,680 for for a shortfall of $1,840. So our shortfall in our membership, swim lessons, and swim team is $27,000 versus the $47,100 that we raised last year.
So can I ask Gary, what things are you putting in place to fix that?
We have an advisory committee that's going to raise a lot of money for us. No. Well, what we can do is, I think we're dealing with the situation as far as the revenue that we're generating so far is because of the fact that we waited so long to decide that we're having a swim program this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to take a while for the momentum to start generating, so hopefully we can recruit that.
Have you reached out to those people that were members last year? You had said you were going to reach out to them individually after the fact.
We have not done that yet.
Okay. Okay.
That's planned, though?
It is planned, yes.
Gary, would that be by phone call or a courtesy letter? Or everybody looks at Ms. Kildoff.
We haven't decided how
okay,
to
thank you.
Yet. We will be contacting everybody. Also note that the $4,115 in memberships, a lot of that money includes the increase that we generated by requiring swim team parents to sign up for the pool. So our memberships are way off right now. And I really think it's primarily because of the fact that we waited so long to make the decision. We've only had, you know, essentially 3 weeks since we made that decision to open.
You said the time for swim lessons has been closed? To sign up for swim lessons?
They're not closed, no. We've completed our normal sign-ups for swim lessons.
That's going to
We typically get stragglers later. Sign up right on through the season.
So pool's scheduled for June 19.
Correct.
What was 2009's opening date? Do you remember?
I think it opened Memorial Day.
No, actually, we were
Memorial Day.
We didn't open Memorial Day weekend. We backed up. I think it was February.
So we're 2 weeks behind.
We're 2 weeks behind. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Gary, any thoughts to the after-hours swim team, swim lesson program?
We're talking about doing that. We're trying to. What I'm looking at is maybe having it just for one session. Okay, probably for the last session, so that will give us a larger period of time to sign people up. And that would be done. My plan is to have the pool open from 12 o'clock till 6 versus the 12 o'clock to 8 last year. Okay, so what we would do is for the last swim lessons, we would extend that by an hour for swim lessons during the last 2 weeks of swim lessons. Okay.
And the committee is okay with the cuts in the programs and everything else that's going on?
The committee?
Yes, the committee.
The committee approved my recommendation that I'm making tonight. All right.
You need to make a motion?
If you're going to make any changes to the budget, you should make a motion and identify what those changes are.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to support the recreation director's recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any other discussion on this?
And that total was $1,700 that you made tonight? Didn't you?
It would be reducing the cut by $15,500.
No. The suggestion you made tonight to that the committee and you agreed to that you could survive and make the cut.
About $8,000.
Yeah. So we're looking at
if I make
a cut of $8,067 plus $1,924. And they're all from self supporting revenue programs.
$8,067
and the other one was what? $1,923. For a cut in operating expenses and a cut of $1,924 cut in adult basketball salary and wages.
Gary, the recommendations are from the Rec Committee or the Advisory Committee?
Rec Committee.
Okay.
They're my recommendations, and they were approved by the
recreation committee. They agreed to support my decision.
I'm sorry, I don't believe the rec committee approved all those cuts. The rec committee agreed that there is not an issue to cut, and that's what we're doing.
No.
But we will wait, we'll go back and check them in.
Okay, it was my understanding that you didn't have any problem cutting the operating costs. That's still my recommendation. I don't have a problem cutting the operating costs.
Okay, we have a motion. Let's have a roll call on this one.
And the motion is to remove the $9,991.97 that the rec director has offered this evening.
Yes. Roll call, please.
Council?
Yes.
Healy?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
Okay, so then the budget I can assume is going to be $135,000, just like that, for the budget.
Keep in mind, once I implement these reductions at council's request, theoretically any budget can be increased or decreased till the day it's adopted.
Right.
So.
But
as of now.
Right. As of now. It's the $135,000 plus the $8,000.
Yes.
Correct. Well, less the $9,000. $2,000, correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Gary.
Follow-up discussion on refuse collection options.
Yeah, just want to point out to everybody that in order to execute the six-month out clause that we had with Blue Diamond, we would have had to execute that probably around June 1st. So just so everybody's aware, the longer we delay in making a decision on garbage, the less money we're going to save possibly in 2011, regardless of whether that's with all options except staying as is with Blue Diamond, all of the options present some relative savings. So I want to keep this alive because I have concerns that it's going to drag out. We're not going to make any savings in 2011 because by the time we execute a decision, we're not going to have any real savings for 2011. Shared service agreement, contractual, however you want to call it, these things take time to work through. So that's not going to be an overnight snap of the fingers. Purchasing a vehicle, taking it all in-house, that involves a lot of logistical work, and you know, we have to put money in the budget for that. That's not going to happen overnight, so I just need everybody on council and everybody in the audience to be cognizant of the fact that this is not going to be a quick fix, and the longer we wait, the less savings we have for 2011 and beyond. I would ask that we at least today eliminate two of the four options, so that we can focus and concentrate on two options rather than four options.
Well, I would second that if that's the motion.
Would you repeat the motion for me, please?
The motion would be to eliminate two of the four options for garbage refuse collection for 2011.
Just for the record, you should indicate the two that you're eliminating.
So I don't know. I mean,
well, we have to discuss that. This is the discussion part next. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to arbitrarily say.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm not making distinctions.
I understand.
Now, from my perspective, with the impact on the budget, privatizing the garbage collection, that's a quick fix.
Right.
Point.
So
that's
what,
all.
I guess we go around who's which two.
Yeah.
And then we get the consensus.
So, I mean, since I got the microphone, so like with the shared services, I mean, it's really good to have these dialogues because it opens up other doors. But once you go to shared service, I don't think you can go privatize and then say, well, now we're going shared service and have, you know, a cluster of problems. The other one, doing it in-house, I don't support that. And I apologize. What was the fourth?
I'm sorry.
What was the fourth option?
Leave it as it is.
Leave it as it is. I do not support that at all. Mine would be, my support would be privatizing, which would allow the residents to choose their own company to do the garbage, mm-hmm. and then pursue the shared services.
The two that I'd like to see is stay the way it is or buy our own truck.
Okay. Terry?
Privatize or shared service?
Okay. Privatize or shared service, because privatization is what Washington Township does, Hackettstown does, and by reaching out to those both municipalities, because I had a concern in my report about, you know, people dumping garbage, and Mr. Bashir mentioned that as well. I reached out to those municipalities and said, I spoke to their code enforcement people, and I said, has there ever been any issues? And they said, no, nothing that the code enforcement wasn't able to handle. So I don't, while it's an issue, it's a possible issue, I don't think it's as much of an issue. So I would support those two options.
Mr. Valentine?
Did we privatize, did we actually figure out how much we've actually saved from the tax base?
I don't have, well, it would save 12 cents off the budget.
Yeah, I would go for privatizing shared services. I think those are two we should really work out.
And my personal one would be leave it as it is, or the shared service.
All right. I have five shared services, four private, two as is, one in-house. So the majority is shared service private.
Okay. So what I can do is, Councilman Boyle, if you handle the shared services part, what I can do is reach out to some of the, would I be able to, at least from exploratory, more than I've already done, reach out to Blue Diamond, Sanico, some of those waste management systems and see what the average cost per household type of cost would be, so we have that much additional.
Some of the numbers I actually have.
The answers to that. Some of us live in the township, I'll tell you exactly what it costs. Four times more than it's costing you now.
Oh, that's not the numbers I got from those same providers.
I lived there for 20 years, Councilman. Honest to God, most of us know that. We take it out of our tax rate, that's fine. We'll pay more for the garbage removal. It'll cost us more money, and we'll lose the benefit of the tax deduction.
Mr. Gonzalez, if I may, this is not a public portion. This is council discussion.
This
is a part of the council discussion right now. It is not for the public. Thank you.
I'll do the research.
Okay. If you would like to make the information available to us through a letter or something like that, you're certainly more than welcome to.
If I could, that's all well and good, and thank you for that offer, but I think that should come from the manager on our letterhead.
The cost,
that
sure.
Information?
That's fine. That's okay with by me.
So I guess that takes care of our refuse collection options.
So there was a motion, and now there's got to be a vote, right?
Oh, yes. Correct. Thank you. So the motion is to go with to explore shared services and then privatize, correct?
Correct.
So further discussion, does that mean we're going to give our six-month opt-out to Blue Diamond?
No, not until we make a decision on which one, I would imagine.
I think that would be...
Yeah. I gotta wait, you know, I'll pound the pavement with the other municipalities. You know, we can't make that decision. What we just did tonight was get rid of two other options and focus on these two.
Right.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Me.
Any abstentions? Okay, brings us on to new business. Resolution 118-2010 start off with.
Move Resolution 118-2010.
Okay, is there any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Then we have Resolution 120-2010, approval for the amended shared service agreement for police services between the borough and the township.
Yes, I just had one comment on that.
Well,
that resolution.
It. Before we go to the discussion, let's move it in a second.
I'll move it.
For a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Mr. Housen.
That resolution, 120-2010, should refer to the
previous
next resolution in some way.
The first resolution, if council goes forward, is authorizing the action. The second one is the action.
Oh.
Right.
So you're saying you want to authorize, oh, I see, you want 120 to reference 125?
Yes.
I can, that's fine. We can have a reference back, that's fine.
Because it says,
because it refers to the actual agreement, because you're not necessarily changing Resolution 125, you're changing the agreement from 2009. But we can have them reference each other if you like, that's fine.
But it says in substantially the form attached here too, and
which
nothing attached here too.
125 is
right,
the attachment.
So that's why I want that.
That's fine. So I'll say for the attachment, see 125, 2010.
Okay.
Okay, any other discussion on this?
Have we worked out what the additional cost is going to be? I know it's going to be less than what's here, but have we determined what that cost is going to be per year?
The reduced cost?
Right.
Based on the 2010 numbers, when the two representatives from the Township Committee came here and presented to council, the first part, from now through the end of the existing school year, is at the current. What that reduction will equate to for 2011, the 140 that we're spending now will probably be closer to 60.
Do we have that in writing?
That's what they said here. I mean, I can get it in writing, but remember, this body doesn't have a say over their budget. Cursory advice only. The difference is there.
But what we're voting on here now is 86 versus 60.
86
or 140 over 60.
Yeah, one
which is different.
No, it's costing 140 now.
Correct.
It's costing 140 now, based on everything.
I understand what you're saying. But we don't know what we're agreeing to for next year.
You don't know what you're agreeing to next year for the police either. That's why they introduce their budget in January and give you their introduced budget so we can budget. The same as what we did this year. Remember, when this council entered into the agreement, we can't be involved in it.
I understand.
If you're asking me for a hard firm number, it doesn't exist. I can't give you that information.
For next year.
I can't give you that until they decide in September what changes to make.
All right, well then, on paragraph 2 in the back, that represents paragraph 3E, where it says there, the last sentence is, from January 1, 2010, they agree to pay 100% of the costs associated with the crossing guards that are assigned within the borough during the term of this agreement, which is another 6 years.
Right.
Which section are you looking at, please?
On the back, on page,
of
paragraph
125.
Okay, well, that's why I'm on 125. Okay, sorry. In addition to your paragraph 3, January. Correct. We've always been paying for that, we will be paying for that cost from this date on versus the reduced, the split. Now, the township, pending council's approval, has adopted identical resolutions.
Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Well, at least with the shared services for the police department, we have some type of numbers. This right here, they're talking about reducing the force. They're going to get with the superintendent of schools to find out where these guards are supposed to be located and whether they're needed or not. I would prefer to wait until that information, till we get that information.
That's this body's choice. I mean, I'm just guessing on what their mayor and their committee members said when they were here.
Okay. Have a roll call, please.
Yes.
Healy?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
No.
Boyle?
No. No.
Okay, now we have 125, 2010, the Police Services Agreement Amendment.
Move resolution 125,
2010. I'll second. Okay, is there any other discussion on this one? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Boyle?
No.
Higgins?
No.
Valentine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Cignoni?
Yes.
Bowser?
Yes.
121, 2010, awarding a contract for an air conditioning repair with municipal building.
Move resolution 121, 2010.
Okay, is there a second?
A second.
Okay, and we have certified that the money is all available? And
that's correct. The documents that you see in front of you are the forms associated with the state pay bylaws.
I do have a question. Why are we going not to exceed $25,000 when his bid is $16,000?
If you read the actual proposal, the initial proposal says it does not include if they have to replace all of the piping in there, to which I said to him, I can't award you a contract without a cap. Pay to play needs a finite number. He says if we have to go in there and just replace the units in kind, it's that base price. If we have to go in there and replace the units plus all of the piping, it's capped at this. That's what that resolution references.
And this is coming out of capital money?
This is coming out of a previously approved capital ordinance from 2008. 0408 was for HVAC improvements. So it'd be divided out over a few years.
Rich, is there a warranty on this person's work and the guarantee this is going to work?
Well, the parts that they replaced last year work. It's the other 40-year-old parts in the building that died.
Well, I mean...
But, I mean, we get a guarantee, the manufacturer's guarantee from all of our vendors. The chiller itself that they replaced last year works fine. It's the air handlers, the 40-plus-year-old air handlers that died.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point. These guys are in that business. They ought to be able to figure that stuff out. You know, I put a new engine, but I still don't have my tires. The car ain't going to run.
Well, the problem that we're having now is the chilled water is leaving the chiller, and it's not leaving the mechanical room. The two chillers in the mechanical room, the coils are so old and clogged, water doesn't pass it. The chiller shuts off so it doesn't get destroyed. That's the first step in this multi-phase. We can't afford to go out and replace every air handler in the building. We can if we divide it over a few years. This is to replace the first blockage in the system. Because remember, it did work last year. In fact, I think some people said it was cold in here last year. Yeah, right.
Hey, any other discussion? Let's have a roll call on this one, please.
Apple?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Egan?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yep.
Okay. That takes us to 122-2010. The introduction of the Business Improvement District budget for 2010.
So moved.
Second. Okay, is there any discussion on this?
I do. Thank you. First page, number 3, about the a special assessment will be imposed and collected with regular tax payment. It doesn't, I don't read where it just says, is that the whole borough that's going to get this? It doesn't define that, it's just the businesses.
Well, the ordinance that created it does. The ordinance that created the Business Improvement District does.
Yeah.
The special commercial properties located within the Special Improvement District get assessed their respective portion of that amount.
I think that was one of the finance questions, too, that we had on the website Q&A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion? A roll call on this one, please.
Apple?
Yes.
Leone?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 123-2010, approval of fireworks for Washington Celebrates America.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
I will have to abstain, Mayor.
Thank you, sir. We have 124-2010 for the Pleasant Valley Mill Dam Study. Would you like to comment?
Before any capital funds can be expended, a resolution needs to be passed by the governing body memorializing that action. If you recall at the last meeting, council authorized the engineer to move forward with 2 of the 3 phases. That is in the progress. Now this resolution will authorize expenditure of capital funds to pay for that. Excuse me, let me clarify. Capital improvement funds, non-bonded money.
Do we have a motion on this resolution?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? And last, we have resolution 126-2010 for a change in EDU for sewer charge.
I'll move resolution 126-2010.
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this?
Yeah, what are the certain facts in paragraph 2?
Sure. They're located in the industrial zone. According to Chapter 70, Section 20 of our ordinances, it establishes the minimum charges for EDU for commercial users. If a commercial user comes in and says, hey, you know, I've changed the use, or I've gotten rid of, you know, 3 rooms and there's only 1 toilet, that kind of thing, and they bring in 12 previous months' worth of water bills to justify that reduction, that's what that's based on.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Vouchers.
Move we pay our bills?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the bills?
Sure.
Which ones?
Well, let's see. Let's go to page 6.
On the normal one?
Yes.
Page 6.
The water bill.
Yeah, with Zalik, we haven't found it yet.
for the week. We understand.
Yep.
Any idea when?
I was talking to Gary about it last week. I'm trying to wait for Andrew to come in. He's got a tool.
We don't know if it's week yet or not. Okay, I'm meeting with the people from the water company tomorrow. Okay, that, which bill is it?
Well, there's two of them here.
Okay, one is for...
One is for $151 and the other one's for $396.
Right. We use 56,000 gallons of water in the grand scheme. That's before any other lines were open in any other part of the park.
Somewhere after the meter or something wrong.
And the only thing that the grand stand is being used for right now is the bathroom. There's no water being utilized for any other activity. That was prior to the cleaning of the pool.
My concern is this. It's $821 total and $547 of it's from the park. We need to get that taken care of.
We just found out about it.
We just found what out?
This bill here, this particular one, that last year it was high, but it wasn't this high. When we shut the water off, the rates went down. When we turned it back on this year, the rates went through the roof. Something happened over the winter after the meter, and we're getting billed for it. That's what we're trying to find out what the problem is.
Gary, wasn't the line to the grandstand replaced by the DPW not too long ago?
Section of it.
It wasn't done prior, not this winter, but the previous winter before I came on. I don't know what they did, but I don't have that information.
And the sidewalk up there was replaced, correct?
But that wasn't near the water line.
It wasn't? No. Okay.
This is only the water for the grandstand.
Right.
This is before anything was turned on for the pool house or for the public.
A rep from New Jersey American Water is coming out this week.
They have a sonar they can fix it.
I don't know if he has it on him, but he knows where the problem is, and I know our engineer has one,
too. We're going to try to isolate the different lines and see if we can find out what's that. It's not in the grandstand itself. So it has to be from the water meter to the grandstand.
There's actually a sonar device. I don't know if New Jersey American has one, but you can actually trace the line, and they can hear the difference and pinpoint a leak underground.
It could actually be a leak. There's a line that goes up to the grandstand, there's a line that splits and goes over to the pool house, and then there's another line that splits off and goes to the filter house. We're going to try to isolate those different lines, see if we can break it down into which area there is a leak.
So obviously it's being worked. We'll have a resolution shortly. Do you have anything else, Mr. Higgins?
Yeah, page 8. Why is the mayor and council being charged $79 for paint?
That is the painting of the mayor's office.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I abstain on anything that has to do with the fire department bills. Yes on everything else but the paint for the mayor's office.
Thanks, sir. Denies any opposed? And we have Mr. Higgins' abstentions. What do we have for a recap, Mr. Phelan?
Excuse me. The minutes are going to be amended per the conversation earlier in the evening. Mirrored copies of the resolutions from the library board will be created for the borough council for adoption. I will notify the Department of Public Works of the date change for the block party so they can deliver the barricades at the corrected date. We'll move forward with the resident on the sale of borough property based on the assessed value, along with the contingency that he must repair the sidewalk. Reductions in the recreation budget account, $8,067.97 in 2008-2023 from adult basketball. Work on the privatization costs, again, associated with the garbage collection. And reference the
two shared service agreement resolutions to each other.
Okay. Council remarks. Councilman Housel.
I'm glad to see the DPW garage progressing nicely, and happy Memorial Day to all the veterans who have served and paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Councilman Cioni.
Just that I've been working with Beth Uporski on the setting up the 501(c), so that we could solicit donations and work towards helping Gary fund a lot of the programs and better the programs. We've had contact with a local attorney to set that up. We're basically looking at potential people to be on the committee. And Beth's not here, so I can't give too much more of a further update than that, other than the fact that we're starting to put all the moving pieces together.
Thanks, sir. Councilman Valentine?
Yeah, the library. I want to wonder, do we have to do a resolution or something to kind of like give them kind of like a heads up about us like giving them the minimum amount for 2011 so they can get like a jump start on seeing how much more they would have to raise to cover this?
I think that would be a budgetary item as opposed to a resolution.
Okay.
And that's in your token for 2011, not 2010.
Yes, 2011.
I mean, I can certainly relay that to them at the next library board meeting. But obviously, that won't be factual until a budget is adopted.
I think he's referring to 2011.
2011, yeah.
Yeah, 2011.
So, okay.
So, you know, it just doesn't come as a surprise to them to start discussing 2011.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? I think
you want us to just let them know that we will be keeping them at the one-third mill.
Right, yes.
For 2011. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is less than what they'd be getting. No, sir?
If I understand you correctly, right now between the minimum requirements from the state plus the additional costs we give them, mm-hmm. it equates to approximately 270.
Right.
And please correct me if I'm wrong. I understand that you want to have them be made aware that next year they're not going to get the 270. They're just going to get the minimum.
No, because just in case that has to be something that has to be looked at next year.
You mean like a forewarning?
Right,
you know,
yeah.
Prepare on only getting the one-third of a mill, not the one-third plus the additional?
Yeah. Is that something that can be done? I mean,
would a resolution?
I mean, if council makes a motion to, in essence, advise the library that starting in 2011, they're only going to receive the one-third of a mill. Anything above and beyond that, they have to come up with. That's the motion.
I'm just wondering.
Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah. Is that a possibility, or is that like something we shouldn't even look at this point?
With Rich, the only concern I have is that Assemblyman DeMeo's said
bill.
There's no minimum.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's proposing.
Correct.
So if that goes forward, then the town. It would be up to the town and the council to decide what contribution, if any,
correct.
There would be.
That's correct.
So if we give that forewarning, so to speak, we're almost obligated.
I know what you're saying. I would imagine it depends on how the motion is.
I mean,
not to exceed that amount would be appropriate to address your concerns if that's what you're referring to.
And I would think we may be premature in that because potentially we could have four new council members. You know, for 2011,
right.
And we have no idea at this point what their opinions may be on it, so that may be premature.
Okay, all right. And the other thing is, again, going back to the vote on the forensic audit, I was mixed on that. Since I became a councilman, initially I was for forensic audit. What made me look at it was the changes that we've made, the audits that we had, and the changes that we've made to make things right. And again, because of the tax rate, I don't think that the money to pay for the forensic audit should come out of the tax rate. Again, considering how high the tax rate is now. If people want to have a forensic audit, if they want to get together and pay for it, that's fine. I just do not think that the taxpayers across the board should pay for the forensic water. And I've said that since the beginning, and again, that's why I voted no this evening.
Anything else, sir? Councilman Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, the Washington Grave Diggers, the manager, Adam Zimmer, is having a fundraiser. Some of the proceeds go to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
If you would, the Grave Diggers are?
It's the Washington's Baseball Club.
Thank
sorry.
You.
July 17th at the park. There's a whole bunch of home run derbies. So Adam asked me to bring that out, and I did. I want to thank the manager for answering some of my questions here about the engineering billing. If these things do make sense, and you know, I understand a lot of what you had said here. If we could just trim the amount of reaching out to the engineer, let them do stuff like that, that I mean, that stuff would really help. And I appreciate Councilman Valentine's response on the forensic audit. But the motion was just to interview the guys, just to see exactly what they had to say and how they proceed. It wasn't saying that we were going to go forward with it. You know, I agree with the tax rate that we have and things of that nature. The people have spoken on that, and all we were really trying to do is just to have them here in public so they could hear what the individuals had to say, because they've done this more than, you know, we have. So, but that's just my two cents. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Higgins.
Yes. In one of your manager's reports, you talked about the toolbox being brought out. Have we heard anything yet on transition aid when the applications are coming?
Yes. My report last week to you guys, actually, I spoke with a representative from the DCA who, in so many words, says, don't hold your breath. If they come out, they're going to be extremely restrictive. They're nowhere going to be the amounts awarded in previous years. But they have absolutely no indication on when they're being released.
Okay, so we still have to wait then for our...
We are dangerously running out of time, because we cannot bank on transitional aid, and even if the aid applications go out, there's absolutely positively no way we're receiving what we did last year. Plain and simple. I mean...
Okay, so but we have to wait to do the waiver request, the cap waiver.
You can't
request.
Do the cap waiver request until this body decides once the transitional aid application is to go forward.
Correct.
Okay. Now, last year, just so you know, last year by this time they had it for almost 2 months, our application. They haven't even come out yet.
Okay. Alright. Also, at the last meeting, Christina Witkowski passed out the questions. Have they been answered?
I'm finishing them this week.
So they'll have them within the week.
And I have my answers. I expected to give them to her tonight, but she was not present.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Councilman Boyle, you
have something? Yeah, I'm so sorry. I forgot. Hey, Rich, the status on the fire truck, the 1975?
The notice is going to be published next week. The auction notice.
The auction notice?
Okay.
Where is that auction going to be held at?
No, going to be held here. I have to reach out to the fire department. I spoke with the chief. I told them that I'm going to have the fire truck brought back to the firehouse, because
okay.
I don't want people going into the sewer plant
right.
for obvious reasons to
yeah.
to inspect it. So we'll pick a predetermined date and time for inspection, and then a finite date and time for seal bids
okay.
with the minimum amount.
All right, thanks. And did you get that water bill taken care of with the community garden?
Yes,
all right,
no problem
job.
At all.
Thank
he
you.
Took care of it since I spoke with
him. This week, Senator Lautenberg had a representative up in White Township at the Freeholders building. I went to meet with him. I went begging for money. It's basically what it is. Federal doesn't have much more than the state does, but he made me aware of a few grants. He's going to send me various pieces of information on grants that are available, particularly in regards to energy efficiency and things like that, and anything else that we see that might be available to us. I hope to hear from him shortly, and that's all I have. And I would accept the motion for resolution 119-2010 for executive session for contract negotiations.
Correct.
After a 10-minute break. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All
right.
So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now you don't mind spending all that money on the attorney's office.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
Okay. Your wife's
going to
have
to do that.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Good night. Hey, good night.